Right now, we welcome to the show left back for the Vancouver Whitecaps, the most outstanding player on the team last year. More importantly, the man who had the number one pick overall in the Whitecaps fantasy football yesterday.
That's what he's known for.
You know what? The trash talking coming on from the old guys on the Whitecaps to the old guy like me at the other end of the table was ridiculous.
Okay.
Mocking every pick I made.
But I hear you're the defending champ.
Thank you, Randy. Randy, thank you. I didn't know that.
He paid me to say that, Jordan.
Jordan Harvey, how are you?
He set you up for that one.
Have you traded half your team already? Because let me tell the people, when you're in fantasy football, you do not have the same team ever. I won
ruthless.
Last year because you trade. No, but listen, buddy, ruthless or stupid. Last year, I got Le'Veon Bell and Ben Roethlisberger from you.
Listen, I've been in the money last 3 years, so I don't know what you're talking about. I'm still holding house money right now.
Yeah, well, so I won it last year, and I think I was second the year before. I think I've had 1 year where I didn't even know that the app existed. So you and Beta Shark, I kind of just took my money, and then I found that I could do all this on my phone. Have you always been a massive NFL fan growing up in the Los Angeles?
Yeah, I definitely watched it every Sunday. Teams came in and out of L.A., so I didn't have one specific team. I went to L.A. Rams games. I went to Raiders games when they were around. But for a large portion of my childhood, I didn't have a team. So fantasy football is a great way for me to have an opportunity to get involved without necessarily having one specific team to root for. Now I'm trying to jump back on the L.A. Rams bandwagon, but they're making it really hard for me, man.
Well, I was going to say, would your family and friends, I mean, I couldn't fathom. I don't know why it took so long for L.A. to get a team. When it's there, no one likes it. Do you think it'll work this time around?
I hope so. I think they absolutely need a stadium, right? Right now, it's just so makeshift that, like I said, it's hard to back a team that's kind of up and coming. They've got a young quarterback, and then they don't have a stadium. They're playing out of USC. I think the Chargers now are playing out of a StubHub.
Yeah, they are.
Yep. Well under capacity to what they could fill. And so I think for a good 5-10 years, it's going to be a struggle. But once they get their house in order, I think it's going to be an absolute great team and a moneymaker. Obviously, they've been trying to get back in L.A. just because that market's so huge.
We're joined here by Jordan Harvey of the Vancouver Whitecaps FC. Jordan, an L.A. guy, did you watch any hockey? Obviously, Vancouver's a big hockey town. It is a hockey town. Did you watch any Kings? Were you a fan growing up?
Absolutely. I went to a ton of playoff games when the Kings – I've talked to Perry about this a few times, but Marty McSorley was like my idol. I had the long blonde mullet growing up, and I was a huge Luke Robitaille fan. Obviously, Gretzky was there. I randomly had a San Jose Sharks jersey as well. I don't know. I think I was a kid who loved the Shark and the jersey, but definitely an L.A. Kings fan. When the the Mighty Ducks came in, the Anaheim Ducks, when they played at the Pond, I was a Korea fan as well. But throughout my youth in California, there wasn't many ice rinks, maybe one in all of Orange County. So I didn't really skate. It was more roller hockey on the cul-de-sacs where I live. But I loved hockey, without a doubt. Did the EA Sports games, all of that. Unfortunately, not a lot of opportunity in ice hockey in Orange County, California.
That's interesting. So what about Marty McSorley? Your game is pretty clean, my friend. What about Marty McSorley attracted you to his style?
You got to love the guy that kind of mixes it up all the time and gets
it's a little gritty.
The enforcer. Yeah, I think I have some characteristics like that in my game. Definitely a hard worker. Not always the piano player, more of the piano mover, if you will. But I Luke Robitaille. I love Luke Robitaille as well. So I like little different things from each and every player.
Were you a good roller hockey player?
I played with I was fortunate enough to have a group of kids in my neighborhood. So we had like 5v5 hockey games on our cul-de-sac, street hockey, and I'd like to think the level was good, but I have no one to compare it to. So
Well, like, did you have like a decent shot? Were you smart?
Yeah,
could you move the ball?
I could rollerblade. I could shoot. I could skate. I thought I was good. You know, I think I was leading score on my course attack. My course attack, I was leading score, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you want. You're listening to On Point, Perry Selkowski, Randy Janda, Jordan Harvey, ex-pro rolling hockey player, part-time Vancouver Whitecap player. You know what? We were talking earlier about Alfonso. Has he hadn't really made a mistake? Well, until Saturday, right? Is that just the emotion of a kid? And Jordan, do you think that comes from? I thought he was pounded pretty good by the Jamaican national side in the Gold Cup. And you know what? He's playing against men, and I would think you would do the same if you had a kid in front of you. You got to try and take a physical advantage. So that's his first kind of outburst, and I'm sure he regrets it. But do you think he's intending to go? You know what? Not kick someone, but I got to push back a bit if they're going to start shoving me around.
I haven't seen it. I've obviously seen some of the quotes on everything, and I heard Zambrano's quote after the game and stuff like that. I haven't seen the actual play, but knowing Alfonso and knowing the kid he is and the good character he has, it surprised me for sure. I want to see the play, but it's a learning curve. I, early in my career, had moments like that, to be completely honest. I got a red card when I was in Philly where I was getting kind of hit, and I jumped over a player, maybe left a foot there, and got a red card. It was semi-intentional, but I didn't think it deserved it. But it's, from what I'm hearing, something similar to that. And so I think he's a good kid, and regardless of what happened, I think he's going to come out on the better end of it. I saw the clip of him walking off. And he was, obviously bummed. He put his shirt over his head and, was kind of embarrassed about it from what I took from that. And I think it's a learning curve, and everybody shouldn't worry about it. Don't panic. He's a good kid, and he's got a good head on his shoulders. And if anything, it's going to make him better because of that.
So when he comes back to the team and joins up with you guys, is that something that you guys would touch upon or just kind of teach? Not, you know, give him your insight of your experience. Is that something that you would do as a veteran?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It will be joked about for sure, but also something that's not necessarily something that you want to replicate or nothing you want to replicate, but it'll be joked about in the locker room and through kind of a joking way. We'll discuss, my experiences and things that I've gone through. So, it'll be something that I'm sure a guy like David Edgar will joke about him, give him a few jabs, and give kind of our experiences with stuff like that.
Well, would you tell him as a veteran and guys to say that, you know what, at some point, and he is a pretty physical kid, but, push back and make sure that they're not going to be able to intimidate you physically?
Yeah, I think it's something where, you've seen it with a lot of players in the world. It's something that these guys, these quality players, these kids that can basically dribble through whole teams. He's another level as far as the teenager goes. But players like that get fouled each and every game constantly, they're going to get, frustrated. And like I said, it's just a learning curve that he's going to have to go through, and he'll come back on a better side. I think you can hear my daughter in the background. I try to put Dory on right now to distract him, but she's not.
We're a family-friendly program.
That's
all good.
Okay. Harlow's part of our listening audience. We can have her on.
Absolutely.
How was the break for you? You took off to Cabo with the family. Did it come at the right time for you guys to get away from each other for a few days?
Yeah, it's always good to have those breaks throughout a season. It's been an extremely long season. We had a break like this earlier in the season. I think it paid dividends, and I think Robbo knows that at points in the season, it's a good chance to, let guys have a mental break. It's not necessarily a physical break. It's just more mental to get away from the game. And like you said, I was able to head down to Mexico, and we had a great little vacation, a 3.5-4-day vacation as a family.
You're listening to On Point with Perry Selkowski and Randeep Janda. We are joined by the Vancouver Whitecaps, Jordan Harvey, his daughter Harlow, and Dora the Explorer.
So, Jordan, the team is unbeaten in three before the break. How do you continue that? So you had a draw against Seattle, but two wins alongside that. How do you continue that momentum despite the break? So you've got a good stretch of games here, but how do you continue that at this point?
Well, I think it starts with our group. And I think we talked about the depth probably for the last 2 years, but we haven't really shown it on the field. And I think as of late, we're showing that on the field. And that's something that's translated onto the field from our training sessions. And that's where I think we'll become sharp, is because we have so much depth and the sessions are so competitive that it doesn't allow any lapse in fitness or lapse in quality. And so you're coming in after 4 days off type of deal, and you have a week and a half to build up. We played an inter-squad a couple days ago, which was awesome. It was a really good 90-minute inter-squad, very sharp. And then you have guys coming back from international duty. So when you have all of that together, a deep roster that's constantly in a competitive mode, there's no lapse in sharpness. So like I said, we've actually implemented it as opposed to just talking about it a number of times in the last 2 years. It's really come through, I think, this year. You've seen it.
So one of the question marks out there for Whitecaps fans is Ali Gazel. We haven't seen him play yet in terms of on the pitch, but you've probably seen him in training up until this point. What kind of player is he? Have you seen him kick around the ball a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. He's still getting his fitness, but he is an absolute beast in the midfield. He's a big guy, lanky, he's long legs that you can see him getting in on tackles, and he's going to be a force in the midfield for sure. And so I'm looking forward to seeing him get on the field. Like I said, he's still getting his fitness. He had some time off before he signed with us. And so that's kind of up to the training staff, whether he's ready or not. But the little glimpses that I've seen in training so far, he's a hard-nosed guy that's going to get stuck in and win a lot of balls in the midfield for us.
You know, soccer is such where you guys will train on the Tuesday and the Wednesday, Thursday, and then usually Friday. Rob O'Carl Robinson, your manager, you know, we'll put the 11 on the side together. We wait in the media wondering sometimes as to what it will be. You're kind of one of those fixtures that's usually in that starting lineup and has locked the position. But amongst the players, Jordan Harvey, is there almost a wonderment going, all right, I wonder actually what 11 he's picking for Friday when we get to practice?
To a certain extent, I think you're right. I think there is some times where we're like, oh, I'm not sure who's going to be playing this upcoming game. But that's only because I think we have a number of games. And I think when it comes down to the home stretch where we have a game a week and we're trying to build and really hone in and we're able to do that, I think you'll see more consistency. But when there's three games in a week, it's not possible. That you can't possibly play the same guys all three games. So there is going to be a mixture in all three. And so I think we've done that well. You've seen us go away to Orlando, go away to Dallas, and come away with great results. And that's all because of the depth that I've alluded to in the beginning of this interview. And it's the coaching staff that's able to pinpoint when the right time is to play a guy, the right formation, the right personnel any given game. So it's a credit to our coaching staff, it really is, and the guys on the roster top to bottom being prepared. I've early in my career, coming off the bench or not starting, it's really difficult to be ready each and every game when you're not playing each and every game. So it's a real credit to the guys top to bottom on this roster, just being prepared each and every game.
That's what my fantasy team will be, prepared every game, led by Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Miller, Kelvin Benjamin. I will defend my Vancouver Whitecaps fantasy football title. I'm confident. Mr. Harvey, thank you, my friend. Enjoy the week.
Yeah, and congratulations, you guys, on this. I'm looking forward to many more interviews with you. And to Perry, I've known you a long time, and I'm really happy for you, man.